What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, the bye week continues. The Eagles, obviously not at the facility, at least not as a full team, as they take a week off after what's truly been a rough start to the season, I would say, overall. The wins, the losses, the travel, the drama. They probably need a week off, but you know what? We don't take a week off, and I know you guys don't either. So we're going to get into a lot today. Talk about Vic Fangio and off coverage. Been a big talking point since that Tampa Bay game. Got some stats for you guys to kind of break down and let you know what's really been going on there. Jalen Hurts, a stat regarding his accuracy versus separation that I think is a truly interesting stat and kind of telling of where he is at. Darius Slay, everyone's favorite Eagle over the last 48 hours, has apologized for what he tweeted and what he said and all that. So I'm going to play that for you guys and let you hear what he had to say. And then during this bye week, I want to do a report card for all the different positions on the team. So today we're going to start with the offensive line and take a deeper dive into how they've played through the first four games. But as always, let's start with what's on the schedule and the injury report. Good news, or bad news, depending how you look at it. Nothing on the schedule. No practice, no press conferences, no nothing. A dead day in that way. You never know when Eagles news will come, but nothing on the schedule today. And then as far as the injury report, we're really not going to have anything for you on that until the Eagles get back next week. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on Devontae, AJ, Lane, some of the players that left the game against the Buccaneers with, let's be honest, fairly minor injuries. But that'll be something we can monitor and give updates on once the team returns next week. So nothing on the schedule, nothing new at the injury report. Okay, let's get into what has been a talking point amongst Eagles fans coming off of that Buccaneers loss this past weekend. So to those that watched the game, I'm sure it was very frustrating to watch the Buccaneers just quick throw the ball up and down the field. Ball snapped, ball out less than 2 seconds or right around 2 seconds. And it was easy to do because the Eagles were playing off coverage. They had their cornerbacks lined up for the most part, 5 or 6 yards from the receiver, giving them an easy separation and allowing the ball to come out quickly and dink and dunk their way down the field, essentially. Add in the bad tackling, and it really wasn't dinking and dunking. They got some big chunk plays there. So Vic Fangio, we got into a little bit of his press conference yesterday, but from his press conference on Tuesday, he was asked about the off coverage and kind of why he played it, when he has to change it, how he gets into that kind of look from a defensive formation. And he had a bunch of different things to say about it. Now, Vic Fangio always kind of short answers. So I'm going to play the whole kind of back and forth here for you guys with reporters in terms of what Vic Fangio had to say about off coverage, more specifically against the Buccaneers. So here's what Vic Fangio had to say.
They came out throwing real fast, real quick, and we weren't tight enough. And we fell behind the chains because of that. And it just kind of snowballed. We never couldn't make the play to get them the 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10. And it just never happened.
Brady suggested on the...
Who did?
Tom Brady on the telecast that you get, that you're not comfortable playing press coverage right now. Is that... Is there any validity to that?
No. our guys, particularly the corners, have the ability to press based on formation. If they're stacking receivers and stuff, it's hard to press then. But on normal splits, they have the ability to press in almost all our calls.
It's up to the, is it their decision?
Yeah, it's by matchup and receiver split. Yeah, but we had more opportunity. We can press more.
In terms of that adjustment come, you say they're playing a little bit too soft, whatever. When does that adjustment come from you, or when do you try to make
it? We tried to communicate that early, that we had to get tighter. And but credit to them, they threw it and caught it better than we defended it.
So what happened there, Vic? If you realize you have to get tighter and maybe that's relayed, is that the players not doing it? Is it you not coaching it well enough?
It's probably me not coaching it well enough.
Then what do you have to do differently?
Coach it better and do a better job during the week. And then understanding that sometimes teams come out in different stuff, different tack than what you saw going into the game, and we got to adjust.
So honestly, listening to Vic Fangio, this reminded me so much of the discussions we would have about Jonathan Gannon. I remember whenever Jonathan Gannon would play a good quarterback, the big complaint was he wasn't blitzing, he was playing off coverage, and teams were dinking and dunking down the field. And I also remember it's, well, why are they doing that? And the players then, James Bradbury, then, you know, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, would say that they have the ability to decide on the play based off of who they're covering, the down, the distance, and all that, how they want to play. Now, here's the thing about off coverage, I'll say. A positive of off coverage is it does help create turnovers. If you remember when the Eagles under Jonathan Gannon were really good, they created a lot of turnovers. And why is that? Because guys, and I'll use a current player, guys like Quinyon Mitchell, when they line 5-6 yards off and they're looking at the quarterback as well as the receiver, they can get better jumps on the football and create turnovers. When you're playing man coverage and you're right up on them, it's really hard to come away with interceptions because your eyes are completely locked in on the receiver. You're really close to them. It's tougher to come away with a turnover there. So one of the reasons Gannon liked the off coverage, and presumably Fangio likes the off coverage, is because of the ability, what should be the ability to create turnovers. Now, the issue is if you're not creating turnovers and the team is throwing the ball quickly and you're not tackling, then things really don't go well. Now, Vic Fangio admitted there that maybe they should have played stickier on the line coverage. It's not really clear there why it wasn't, you know, transmitted down from the defensive box, coaching box, down to the main players. Like, if he thought they should have done it earlier, they never really adjusted to it. And a stat from Doug Farr of, I don't remember where he works. I just have the tweet written down, is that this season the Eagles have had no cornerbacks in press coverage. So no cornerback up on the line in press coverage on 88% of their snaps, which he says is by far the NFL's highest rate. After the Buccaneers game, down to 85%. So basically, they played roughly the same percentage, probably in the low 80s, high 70s against the Buccaneers. Now, on the season, that backs up what they've been doing. If you look at it, Darius Slay has been in man coverage on 28% of his snaps this season. Quinyon has been in man coverage on 28% of his snaps this season. Now, that doesn't specify man, press man versus just lining up 5-6 yards down the field, but what it does show is they're playing a ton of zone, which means they're off the line of scrimmage, and for the most part they are playing very little man coverage. And again, that stat backs it up that 85% of the time this year they have not been in press man coverage. So the Eagles are only up on the line in press man at about 15% of their snaps this season. Now, you would hear that and say, well, then that's got to be the issue. The quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball quickly, and that was the issue against the Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield this past week got the ball out in 2.08 seconds, which was the fastest in the NFL that week. Now, what's interesting, though, is Baker is normally at 2.6 seconds. So clearly going into that game, they decided to get rid of the ball quickly, and the Eagles didn't adjust. That's on Vic Fangio. It's on the players as well, but it's definitely on Vic Fangio. But I'm not sure this is a big picture problem. If you look at the other three games this year, they have not been quick passing game like to death. Derek Carr, the week before, when the Eagles only gave up 12 points in that game, he got rid of the ball in 2.72 seconds. That was 22nd in the NFL that week, and he's normally at 2.57 seconds. So Derek Carr actually got rid of the ball slower that week than he does on average this season. Kirk Cousins, 2.84 seconds when he played the Eagles. That was 18th that week. And on the season, he's 2.65. So slower that week as well. So Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr got rid of the ball considerably slower than Baker Mayfield. And they were considerably slower than they are on the season. Jordan Love, week one, 2.69 seconds. Now that is slightly faster than where he's been at this season. He's about 2.76 seconds, but he hasn't played a ton. So regardless, if you look, the outlier is Baker Mayfield. The only team this year that has really gone into a game and said, we're going to get rid of the ball quickly, is Tampa Bay. Now you can say, you know, Baker is still one of the quickest in the league, and I think he is. I think he's top 5 or 6 in the league. He was still considerably quicker than normal. So while it is a coaching problem from that game, and I do think it's something they're going to have to show an adjustment to, because after watching Tampa Bay do what they did, other teams are probably going to try it. I don't think this has been the issue on the season. I still think the main issue with the pass defense is the pass rush. So this year, the pass defense is 25th in net yards per attempt allowed. They're allowing 6.7 yards per net yards per attempt this season. Just to give you some context on what like a good one is, in 2022, the Eagles were number one at 4.9 yards. So roughly 2 yards less net yards per pass attempt allowed. And they're 25th in the league this year. Now, I think the main problem with that is they're not getting a pass rush. And why you can kind of see that is Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr were holding on to the ball in the pocket. Like Derek Carr, Jalen Carter had a really good game that day. But Kirk Cousins, I remember vividly sitting up in the press box, and he had all the time in the world back there in the pocket. So it is a little interesting that the Buccaneers decided to do that. I mean, they have a fairly decent offensive line. I know they were missing Luke Goedeke that day, but the Eagles pass rush has not shown that they're able to get to the quarterback. If you look this year, they're 20th in hurries, 25th in quarterback knockdowns, 26th in pressures, and 29th in sacks. So they don't have a pass rush that has been getting to the quarterback. And again, on average, teams are throwing it this year versus them in, you know, of the non-Buccaneers games, probably 2.7 seconds, something like that, which is pretty slow. That's not like a long amount of time for the ball. I mean, that's not a short amount of time for the ball to be held. Now, an interesting stat that I was surprised at, the Eagles are 11th in pass rush win rate, which means they are winning at the line of scrimmage, but it's just not showing up. So like that is an interesting stat. I think, you know, Jalen Carter's big game probably impacted that. Josh Sweat, I think, is winning a decent amount. Not getting there, but he's winning there a decent amount. So the 11th in pass rush win rate would kind of indicate that if the Eagles had stickier coverage, maybe they'd get there. But it's really only the Tampa Bay game. So I think that this is something that they're going to have to adjust to. And obviously, Quinion in college played a lot of off coverage. The Eagles said they think he can play man, but he did play a lot of off coverage in college. Darius Slay, I think, still a pretty good corner, but obviously at his age, you wonder if that speed is still there. Maybe he likes to play a little bit off. And I do think the turnovers help, right? Like the turnovers, you're supposed to be able to create more turnovers that way. But despite all this, I think the Browns will try to come out and do the same thing. So it'll be interesting to see when they do play the Browns, if the Eagles corners are lined up closer to the line of scrimmage than they were for most of their snaps against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I got a bit of a spoiler. I don't think they will. I think you're going to see pretty much the same kind of coverage. It's just what Fangio believes in. It's, you know, we saw it under Gannon. So we'll have to see if they tackle better, then you're making teams go 11, 12 yards to get down the field. But it all starts with good tackling. If they tackle well and they keep guys in front of them, I think the defense will be able to keep teams off the board. But the combination of a bad pass rush combined with off coverage and bad tackling, that's how you get the results that they did on Sunday. Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about, I thought this was a fascinating stat. So there's been a lot of discussion about Jalen Hurts these past few days. Really, there's always a lot of discussion about Jalen Hurts, but in general, just about, you know, how he's playing overall. So this stat it looks at how much average yards of separation the targets are getting. So it's not just receivers, it's tight ends, it's Saquon. When a quarterback throws a ball, how much separation is between the intended target and the defender? So obviously you want to have a lot of intended separation or a lot of separation. It means the guys are scheming open. It means, you know, you're making the right decision, all those things. So this year, the Eagles are second in separation. Only one team, the Washington Redskins, has more yards of separation on average than the intended target when they throw the ball that direction. So Jaden Daniels has had guys more open than any other quarterback in the league. So it's promising that the Eagles are second. It means they're scheming guys open. I do think this also speaks to the decisions Jalen's making. Like, he throws the ball to the guy that is wide open. He doesn't really do as many 50-50 balls as he used to. He doesn't throw into tight windows a ton. He's obviously done it at times, if you look at that interception against the Saints, but you want to have a ton of separation. Now, what's concerning is Jalen Hurts is 25th in accuracy on those passes. So there are 24 quarterbacks in the NFL that have less separation to deal with, or 23, I should say, that are throwing to tighter targets, that are throwing the ball more accurately. So while the talent and the coaching is helping Jalen, Jalen is not taking advantage of the easy throws that he's getting to a certain degree. I know no throw is that easy in the NFL, but second in separation, 25th in accuracy. That is a very concerning stat because you want to see, like, Jaden Daniels, he is getting a ton of separation, but he is also throwing the ball at an extremely accurate rate. I think he's completing like 82% of his passes, but Washington is number one in separation and number one in accuracy. Like, that's what you want. They're creating easy throws for their quarterback, and the quarterback is taking advantage of those easy throws. The Eagles, for the most part, are creating easy throws for Jalen, and he is not taking advantage of those throws. So that's the concern moving forward. Now, the positive is the throws are there to be made, and if Jalen improves, then I think the offense could improve pretty quickly. But when you combine the turnovers with the lack of accuracy, it's been a tough four games for Jalen Hurts to start the season, to say the least. All right. So on yesterday's pod and also the pod with James, we talked about the Darius Slay thing. And we said that he, you know, released a video saying he apologized for the tweet and all that stuff. I wanted to play it for you guys in case you hadn't heard it. I think it's a good apology by him. So here's what Darius Slay had to say.
I will take accountability for posting my stats like that. I should not have did that. I shouldn't. But y'all got under my skin a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. Y'all got under my skin for the first time. That was kind of big for me right there, man. Because I put a lot of work into this, man. I train my ass off, work my ass off. I try to be the best role model leader I can be, and to you know what I'm saying? Get attacked all the time. Not all the time, but for that game, and I'm like, God, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had a great ball, great catch on me, and y'all was just attacking the dude and da da da. I got in my feelings a little bit, so I apologize, Eagles fan, from the bottom of my heart. That won't happen again. I do take accountability for my wrong. That was wrong for me doing that. That was a kind of selfish act a little bit because
I think there's a lot of truth in there. His role in the locker room is like the fun, smiling guy. Like, that just is what he is. And like I said, he was voted a captain, and I think it was correct for him to say he was given that captaincy for a reason. He was voted a captain for a reason. I do think he probably wishes he wouldn't have done it, obviously, considering the backlash. So I think it was good for him to put that out there. I don't think it's going to change anyone's mind, unfortunately, about how they feel about him. I think at this point, the only thing that'll change people's mind about Darius Slay will be if he plays better. And now, granted, that has nothing to do with him as a person. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear if you play well, fans will like you. If you don't, fans are going to be annoyed with you. But yeah, at this point, Darius Slay playing well is probably the only thing that's going to get fans back on his side, which is unfortunate because he's been a very, very good cornerback during his time here. I think he's been a very good Eagle. I think he's been a very good teammate, and it is what it is. But he's gotten himself into this situation. So on the other side, we are going to start our report card series and look at the offensive line through the first four games. Okay, so the Eagles' offensive line. And first, let's just start with this. I was worried about the offensive line in training camp. I didn't think Mekhi Becton looked good. Obviously, Tyler Steen was injured. I thought they were allowing pressures. Like, I was concerned about the offensive line. But I have to give them credit, and I will hand up say it. You will never catch me concerned about an Eagles offensive line as long as Jeff Stoutland is here. They could have me, you, James, Tucker, one of your friends playing the offensive line, and I will not be concerned about the offensive line until I see them struggle in a game. I've learned my lesson on Jeff Stoutland and his ability to get an offensive line going. You could argue it's a lesson I should have known, but let's not undersell what they're doing here. They have a new starting center. They have a guard who's never played the position before, and that center played guard last year. So it is impressive that they are playing this well. And if you look at what they've done so far, they've done an outstanding job. According to Pro Football Focus, they are eighth in the league in pass blocking. We're going to talk predominantly about pass blocking here, but they are also sixth in run blocking, very impressive, and they are averaging 6.0 yards per carry when Saquon runs the ball this year. And if you include the other carries, they are fifth in the NFL in yards per carry. Extremely impressive. That is obviously speaks to just how they're blocking individually, but it also speaks to them, you know, the scheme and how they're doing it and how they're opening up holes. And obviously at the size they have, they're able to push through most defensive lines. So very, very encouraging what the offensive line has shown so far from a run blocking perspective. Now let's talk about pass blocking. And really, their set of tackles have been arguably the best set of tackles in the NFL. I know Lane Johnson missed a game this year, but if you look at both the stats and just the Pro Football Focus rankings, there's no team in the league that can say they have a better set of tackles through four games than the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's start with Jordan Mailata. So Jordan Mailata, I think fairly last year, caught some criticism. I thought he didn't play up to his potential last year. When Jordan Mailata plays to his potential, he can be the best tackle in the NFL. And through four games, he is playing to his potential. And guess what? He is the number one ranked tackle in the NFL when it comes to pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. He has been outstanding. I could argue Lane has been better, and we'll get to that in a second, but Jordan Mailata is once again playing at the level that his potential says he should be able to play to. He has allowed seven hurries in four games. That's a little higher than you would think. He is 14th in hurries allowed, and he's allowed one sack. Good stuff. Like, I think you want to see the hurries probably dip a little, and the one sack in four games is what it is. That's not terrible. There's going to be snaps where you lose. It happens. And especially with Jalen holding onto the ball so long, that is going to up the amount of sacks and hurries they give up. But he has been everything the Eagles could hope for this year. So props to Jordan Mailata. He's absolutely crushed it this year. Lane Johnson. We'll go tackles, then we'll go to the inside. Lane Johnson ranked number four in pass blocking according to Pro Football Focus. But here's what's so impressive to me. And these are their stats. So, you know, we could probably watch the tape and nitpick here or there. But according to Pro Football Focus, Lane hasn't given up a single hit, hurry, or sack in the three games he played this season. That's wild. I mean, you know, I remember there was one sack, I think it was against Atlanta, where it looked like it was maybe it was a miscommunication. I think it was the Packers, where his guy got by him, but, you know, it ends up like that really wasn't him losing the snap. That was a miscommunication. So he hasn't been actually perfect, but he's been pretty close. And combined with Mailata, the Eagles should feel really, really good about where their tackles are at. I mean, we'll talk about Fred Johnson in a second, but we saw how much the Eagles missed Lane Johnson when Fred Johnson was out there. So Eagles should feel very, very grateful every time Lane Johnson lines up to play for them in a game, because he's been doing it for a lot of years. We'll see how many years he has left. But when he plays, man, he is certainly a special player. And, you know, there'll be an interesting argument for who the best offensive lineman is in the history of the league. I'm sorry, in the history of the franchise. Lane's got a case. Like, Kelsey's been awesome. Jason Peters was really good for a while. Trey Thomas, John Runyon. Certainly there have been some great offensive linemen. But Lane might be number one, and that'd be an interesting debate to have. Maybe we'll open that up to on Go Birds Radio the next time we're on air. So Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata, absolutely outstanding. The guards, not as great. I don't think Landon Dickerson and Mekhi Becton have been that great. And the numbers back it up. Landon Dickerson is the 59th ranked offensive guard in pass blocking. Mekhi Becton, 76th in pass blocking. Combined, they've given up six sacks in four games. That's not great. They've given up eight hits and nine hurries, also not great. I think that Landon Dickerson has played better than Mekhi Becton, but there's definitely been times where I'm watching this tape and it feels like Landon's getting pushed back into the pocket. And I think that's definitely the case with Mekhi Becton as well. Mekhi Becton letting up that sack early on last week against Tampa Bay. That game was probably going to be out of hand anyway, but early on, a lot of key players made mistakes, and Mekhi Becton was one of them. So overall, as a unit, they're still playing outstanding. I'm not going to kill Becton or Landon Dickerson, but I think the Mekhi Becton, like, coming out and being an outstanding guard right off the bat thing, like people said in week one, has taken a bit of a step back. And we'll see as the season goes on. I don't think they're, you know, even considering benching Mekhi Becton, but when you look at how good Tyler Steen played this year in the limited snaps, and we'll get to his stats in a second, but, you know, maybe they don't have to pay Mekhi Becton. Maybe they have a better option in Tyler Steen. So Mekhi Becton, Landon Dickerson, decent play overall. They certainly get credit for being involved in an outstanding offensive line, but not, you know, the outstanding individual performances like you're seeing at tackle. Now let's talk about Cam Jurgens. I don't think you could have hoped for a better outcome in the first four games from Cam Jurgens. Has he been perfect? No. He's let up five hurries. He's definitely had some snap issues. But overall, four games as the starting center on this team for the first time in his career, he is 10th in the league in pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. I think he's been very good in the run game, getting to that second level, you know, getting linebackers at that second level to open up you know, small gains into big gains for Saquon Barkley. And while, you know, I know he's not, like, Jalen's the one in charge of the coverage, it doesn't feel like there's been a lot of communication breakdowns on the offensive line. There's been some, but there has not been a large amount that you would think with a rookie center and a new guard. So Cam Jurgens, I think, has been had a really, really good first four games. I think the Eagles should be very encouraged by where they're at. And if you look big picture, the left side of the line in Jordan, Landon, and Cam is really set up for years to come. I know things change quickly in the NFL, so I'm not going to sit here and say they have 10 years, but they could. Like, they could have 10 years. They probably have at least three or four, five that you can bank on for these three playing at a high level. Now, the right side of the offensive line, we'll see with Becton, and you know Lane's going to unfortunately probably retire in the next year or two. But the left side of that line is really well set up. Now, the two key backups I wanted to talk about, let's talk about Tyler Steen. He was awesome in the one game he played. He allowed zero hurries, sacks, or pressures in 43 snaps. Was really good in the run game. Obviously a limited amount of snaps, but to come in and play at the level he did against the Saints when it was just off the bench cold was really impressive. So long term, I don't know if Mekhi Becton and Tyler Steen is decided. Now, Becton has a history of injuries. We'll see if Steen, over time, can play at a high level. Because look at Fred Johnson. Fred Johnson was really, really good against the Saints. And then the following week, when a team had a full week to prepare for him and to game plan for him, he allowed 12 hurries. Not great. And on the season, he's allowed 12 hurries and 111 snaps. That's one every roughly 11 snaps. So that's not, I mean, that's four or five a game, you know, over a long stretch. And he's second in the NFL in hurries allowed, despite playing about half as many snaps as other tackles in the league. So good performance for the backups off the bench, but Fred Johnson as a starter, not as good. So overall, what am I giving the unit? I'm giving the offensive line an A-. They've been pretty good. They've allowed Jalen time in the pocket. The run game's been awesome. And I think a lot of the passing game problems are Jalen created, not offensive line created. So, to no surprise, Jeff Stoutland, who's going to be in the Eagles Hall of Fame one day, gets that A-. And I would say he's had an A+ career with the team. So, thank you to everybody that listens. Always means the world to me when you listen under really any circumstance, but especially in the bye week on a Thursday. Like, that's a real one. That's an auto downloader. And it means the world to me that you guys take the time to start your day with Go Birds Daily. So until then, as they say, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.